coming from the lowest lows. Gotta do what I can to turn this shit around.
Between the Lies podcast.
I'm up at 6 a.m. in the morning, sorting through all your warnings. I want the cars and the bitches, I want the fame and fortune. I need that Ric Flair drip just like the Four Horsemen. Feeling like I'm Manziel, I don't need your endorsements. Yeah, funny how you used to be my right hand man, and all that shit went left, now you're someone I can't stand. I know you say you got reasons, a bunch I can't understand. This isn't part of the plan, then we supposed to be fans.
Welcome back to the Between the Lies podcast, where we deep dive into whatever wicked or warped subject we might find our way into. On today's podcast, we will be revisiting one of the darkest subjects I have ever covered in my life. Now, I did cover this specific topic on the initial iteration of the Between the Lies podcast, but at that time, I was so new to podcasting, I was so less polished. I was literally just going off the cuff with stuff that was in my head and not really doing the research necessary at that point. Although some of those podcasts had a charm to them, they're not where I would like them to be. And speaking of this topic, we're going to be talking about Pizzagate. Now, that's the last time you're going to hear me call it that, because I am scared that this is one of those subjects that can easily kind of be dumbed down in terms of not being able to find it in the search bar of a podcast, maybe because it contains that specific word, which has been banned from social media, etc. That's a whole nother thing. But today, specifically, we're going to be talking about that and the John and Tony Podesta emails and the things that were roped in the emails that were released at that time. Now, I want to remind anybody and everybody listening today that although these email releases came out in a political fashion and basically inflicted political detriment to Hillary Clinton and her campaign, I want to remind everybody that I am not a political person. I'm not right, I'm not left, I'm barely even in the middle. I literally think every single politician is ripping us the fuck off. Excuse my language, but that's how passionately I feel about it. And nonetheless, I'm not a political person. So today, when we're looking at these emails, again, we're not leaning left or right. We're simply just imagining what some of these email leaks could actually mean. And to read them again is reaffirming my belief that there is some serious fucked up shit going on in these specific emails. So we'll talk about Tony and John Podesta, some of their links to nefarious things going on in the world of the entertainment industry and some of the dark stuff we've seen with high-ranking political members, celebrities, etc. Now, this started around 2016 when Anthony Weiner, who was a longtime associate of the Clinton Family Foundation, literally in their cabinet, and his wife being Huma Abedin, who is also a fellow associate of Hillary Clinton, and in terms of the 2016 campaign, was her right-hand man or right-hand woman. But nonetheless, he got exposed, Anthony Weiner, for talking to underage girls, sending inappropriate pictures to them, etc., and knowing that they were younger than 18. So news surfaced of this, and people began digging deeper into a lot of information. It started kind of a frenzy of people trying to find more and more on the Clintons for the 2016 campaign. Now, then we go to WikiLeaks. So in March of 2016, WikiLeaks would publish thousands of emails from Hillary Clinton and members of her team. And yes, that was my notification sound in the background, not yours. I forgot to turn my phone on silent. People began dissecting each and every email, and based not only on some of the odd words and phrases included, but also based off of occult words being used and discussing gods, goddesses, and even some rituals in some of these emails we'll read. So I want to go over the emails in depth, and probably on another episode we'll talk about Comet Ping Pong, because there's certainly a lot to be said about them as well. But today, mostly, I want to go over the Podesta files. Now, I will be reading some of these emails straight from the source, but unfortunately, in the time that has passed since 2016, many of John Podesta's emails now lead to broken links. I can only imagine that this isn't by accident, and part of these emails are somehow still being hidden or suppressed, although they are supposed to be present on WikiLeaks. Keep in mind that any video I've ever posted regarding the Podesta emails have been taken down almost immediately by any social media site you will post them to. So for some of the emails, I'm referring to a synopsis of the emails that I found by doing my research this past week. But keep in mind that I myself have seen all these emails around 2016, and I can vouch for their authenticity. So some of it is going to be a synopsis of the email and not the physical email itself. Keep in mind also that articles from the CIA itself claim that they saw no evidence of tampering in these files that were released by WikiLeaks. So there has to be something to some of this. Keep in mind, everything we're going over are factual, real-life emails, as I said. Keep in mind as well that Hillary Clinton and her associates did not take steps to clear their name in terms of the existence of the emails. They've never denied their existence. And keep in mind that the Podesta brothers are into some sick shit. Look into Tony Podesta's art collection and John Podesta's art collection if you don't believe me. He literally has, or at least had, pictures in his house depicting children in sexually compromising situations, and so does John Podesta. Now ask yourself, what would you say if you went over a friend's house for dinner, and he had pictures around the house depicting children in these compromising positions? You would probably reconsider your friendship with that person at the very least, if not confront them about what those pictures meant. But do you want more proof that the Podestas are into some sick stuff? Look no further than this email that was sent to them from Marina Abramović. Now, for those of us who don't know, I've talked about Marina a few times on the podcast. Most famously, I talked about her with Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga channels her, so-called, for her art, and it almost was like a demonic session of Lady Gaga literally sitting in the woods with her eyes taped shut, with horns on her head, listening to these low vibration frequencies. And a lot of people speculated that possibly this was MK Ultra at work, and Marina Abramović is somebody who represents the evils and the control and the darkness that we're seeing in this world, and she's one of those main figureheads. Nonetheless, the email is to Tony Podesta from Marina Abramović. It states, "Dear Tony, I'm so looking forward to the spirit cooking dinner at my place. Do you think you would be able to let me know if your brother is joining? All my love, Marina." So as we're looking into exactly what spirit cooking is, it is extremely ritualistic in nature, and nobody can tell me different. Here's an excerpt from, I guess, a book from Marina Abramović in 1966, or some type of declaration and telling people how to endure this so-called spirit cooking. It states, "Mix fresh milk from the breast with fresh milk of the sperm. Drink on earthquake night. On your knees, clean the floor with your breath. Inhale the dust. Wash your bed sheets in lemon juice," which is wild. "Cover the pillow with sage leaves. With a sharp knife, cut deeply into the middle finger of your left hand and eat the pain. Facing the wall, eat 9 red hot peppers. Take uncut 13 leaves of green cabbage with 13,000 grams of jealousy stem for a long time in deep iron pot until all the water evaporates. Eat it just before attack. Fresh morning urine sprinkle over your nightmare dreams." Literally sounds like a riddle from hell, or something the Riddler would come up with if he was on a really bad LSD trip. Nonetheless, I don't even want to speculate on what some of that stuff means, but we can all agree that it was disgusting, and we can agree that there are some ritualistic vibes going on there for sure. So we know for a fact from these emails that John and Tony Podesta have been involved in spirit cooking with Marina Abramović. We've looked into Marina Abramović before. I can confidently say that there is something occult and evil surrounding her and going on with her. So then we have two of technically the most powerful brothers in Washington, especially at the time, literally through email, admittedly partaking in these things such as spirit cooking. So ask yourself, why would you want to drink sperm in the morning? Why would you want to cut deeply into your left hand and eat the pain? I'm supposing eat the blood. That's what I'm imagining what goes on there. But nonetheless, the fact that these two pretty powerful people in Washington are into some of this weird stuff, it really starts to lift the veil. And if you combine that with some of the pictures in their household and some of these further emails we're going to read now, it really starts to paint a picture. Here, for example, we have an email from Tony Podesta himself where he quite literally states that he has kept in touch with a serial pedophile. So here's some proof. It states, "Dear Mac, I can't believe it's been almost 30 years since Camp Noise. I have stayed in touch with Denny Master and Ian Eltit and Andy Dolan after all these years. It's wonderful to reconnect with them. Are you posted in New York? I would love to see you." Now, he spoke about Dennis Haster. He's actually a former Republican Speaker of the House who was indicted in May of 2015 for paying off hush money to victims that he sexually abused as children. Haster is a serial child rapist. And keep in mind that this email would present itself around 2016, and that's when it was from. So more than a year later, after Dennis Haster is brought up on these charges, and basically it's proven that he's done these horrible things, we have an email from Tony Podesta to a friend from camp basically telling him that he has been in touch with Dennis Haster. So next, we have a group of emails that is all being linked to a pedo code language that was discovered in a child ring. And I'm not going to say all the words necessary at the end there, but a child ring is what we'll refer to. So keep in mind that these specific codes that we're hearing have been proven in other instances to be used for nefarious child ring purposes. So a company emails John Podesta and states, "Hi John, the realtor found a handkerchief, in parentheses, I think it has a map that seems pizza related. Is it yours? They can send it if you want. I know you're busy, so feel free not to respond if it's not yours or you don't want it." John Podesta would reply, "It's mine, but not anything worth worrying about." So let's start by stating the obvious here. This email is clearly coded in some way, shape, or form. I mean, it's not like any normal person carries a map that sits inside of their handkerchief. So what exactly could that mean? Could it be drug related? Could it be money laundering? But again, when we go back to some of the codes used, a pizza related handkerchief with a map on it, you start to loop back to these child rings and how these terms have been proven to be present in these child rings. And it really starts to make you wonder. Next, we have an email between John and Tony Podesta. One of them states to the other, "Would love to come get pizza for an hour or come over?" After the hour. So that in itself tells a story. It's clear from that email alone, again, pizza is definitely a code word. Have you ever asked a friend to get pizza for an hour? It's weird and eerie, and it just doesn't sit right with me. Next, we have Tony sending this email to John Podesta where he states, and I quote, "Are you still in the torture chamber?" Now, obviously, that could just be two brothers messing around, you might say. But if you revisit the Podesta's art, that again, I encourage you to pause this podcast or while it's on, look up the Podesta's art and you see these children in compromising positions, as we spoke of earlier, it certainly raises some questions. Next, we have an email which I find particularly glaring. It states, "The next 3 months are going to be rougher internationally than in Beijing, between 7th and 1600, no fun. Hope you're doing okay, John. I'm dreaming of your hot dog stand in Hawaii." Now, this wasn't sent by Tony Podesta, instead an outside source. But nonetheless, what is a hot dog stand in Hawaii? Basically, through the email, he's implying that maybe John Podesta owns a hot dog stand in Hawaii, which we know is not true. And again, looping back some of these food items, things such as pasta, hot dog, handkerchief, pizza, all these things that are related to food and again have been linked to some of these child rings. So I found that particularly intriguing, and not in a good way, but the fact of the matter is John Podesta does not own a hot dog stand in Hawaii. So what exactly were they referring to? And the fact that the man stated he was dreaming about it. Is there something in Hawaii we need to know about? Whether we like it or not, there is definitely some code being used in these emails. And it goes even further. We have an email titled Pool Entertainment that was found in this WikiLeaks batch. The email is from Tamara Lozado. It was sent out to a group of Washington, D.C. power brokers and lobbyists, many powerful people, including John Podesta. In the email, she invites them to a pool party at the Lovettsville farm, but obscurely mentions that three children, Ruby, Emma, and Maeve, will be Ubered as further entertainment, while specifically mentioning their ages. This email is very strange and gets stranger as tech lobbyist Drew Lipman jokes about affairs and running for Speaker of the House at the same time the Dennis Hastert abuse scandal was being publicized, and these jokes were within that same email exchange. Keep in mind that Tamara Lozado is a rich and powerful DC lobbyist, the one who sent this initial email. She's the former chief of staff to both Hillary Clinton and John D. Rockefeller, and coincidentally, she's a primary liaison at a major advisory panel, the National Commission on Children. Next, we have an email, I guess, to John Podesta and his wife, Mary, and it states, "I think you should give notice when changing strategies which have long been in place. I immediately realized something was different by the shape of the box, and I contemplated who would be sending me something in a square-shaped box. Lo and behold, instead of pasta and wonderful sauces, it was a lovely, tempting assortment of cheeses. Yummy. I am awaiting the return of my children and grandchildren from their holiday travels so that we can demolish them. Thank you so much. I hope you and your gang are well." It also states at the end, "P.S. Do you think I'll do better playing dominoes on cheese than on pasta?" So this specific email I've gone back and forth on in my mind whether I believe it to be the actual code or is it something simple and it's just friends joking around. But I have to say there are some oddities. First of all, who talks about their grandchildren and children and talks about demolishing them? Of course, we could refer back to it and think maybe they were just talking about the cheeses, but it certainly is odd to include those same sentences in the same paragraph, for one. Two, they're talking about sauces, pasta, cheeses, yummy. Just, again, a lot of this food talk that we're seeing all throughout this emails. And in a little bit, once we go through the emails, I'm going to give you a count of some of these words and how many times they were used in these emails, and that's something that is also eye-opening. I do want to read the actual email from Tamara Lozado to John Podesta because I just came across that in real time. She states to John Podesta, "We plan to heat the pool, so a swim is a possibility. Bonnie will be the Uber service to transport Ruby, Emerson, and Maeve, 11, 9, and almost 7, so you'll have some further entertainment, and they will be in the pool for sure." So please tell me, what kind of simple discussion is that? She's stating that her grandchildren, Ruby, Emerson, and Maeve, will be in the pool. They will be in the pool for you for sure, and they will be your further entertainment. And again, this is somebody who's rich and powerful, just like John Podesta, and they're joking about children in these compromising positions. It comes up again and again and again. So to go over the facts, we have emails about a black and white handkerchief that has a pizza-related map on it. We have emails from John Podesta stating that he had to settle for two-month-old pasta. We have Podesta's friend dreaming of Podesta's hot dog stand in Hawaii. We have Tamara Lozado, who brings children for entertainment in heating pools, including the names and ages. And we have somebody complaining to Podesta about switching up the sending strategy without notice and getting cheese instead of pasta delivered in a box. So again, more code language. Clearly, we know they're not talking about food here, and that's just a little bit of it to sum it up. The two-month-old pasta from Podesta is the email I can't actually find, but again, a synopsis of it was that John Podesta was stating that he had to settle for two-month-old pasta, and that's not what he wanted. Again, obviously, he's not referring to food here. We aren't idiots. We can read between the lines, read between the lies. As cliche as that sounds, that's what we always do. Clearly, they're talking about either drugs or some human smuggling or children, or it could go as deep as the adrenochrome theories and the harvesting of organs and blood that we've heard about for a long time coming out of the entertainment industry and Washington, D.C. So in terms of the numbers, how many times were each so-called food word being used in these emails? We have pizza ringing in with the highest at 149 times used. We have hot dog being used 73 times. We have cheese being used 85 times. Pasta being used 78 times. Sauce being used 41 times. Ice cream 84 times. And walnut 47 times. Now again, researchers quickly discovered, again, these words were being used in some coded language. And here's the actual code. Hot dog apparently equals boy, pizza equals girl, cheese equals little girl, and pasta little boy. Ice cream is a male prostitute. Map equals semen. Sauce equals orgy. Dominoes are domination. Pillows equals drugs. Oysters, sedatives, and chicken, young boy. So again, going over those emails, and you can listen again or read them yourself, hopefully if you can find them. But nonetheless, some of these words start to make sense in these emails. I don't think it's a mistake that these words are being used, and I think it blew the lid off of something that people really don't want to come out. And of course, it has been suppressed by the media. We talked earlier about the actual word for this so-called conspiracy theory has been banned from social media sites. If you were to post a video linking John Podesta, even mentioning John Podesta and emails in the same video, will get it taken down. I posted a video on my TikTok, Between the Lies podcast, about a week ago, and it was swiftly taken down. I also posted a video the other day about boxer Ryan Garcia, who went on Andrew Tate's podcast, I guess, on Twitter or X, and proclaimed that he basically had been made to watch some of these sickening acts by elites, and that he was taken to Bohemian Grove. And I posted a video just explaining my thoughts on that. I didn't cross any lines. I simply stated my opinion, and it was swiftly taken down. Whenever we're talking about the elites and in some of these things that they're doing and some of the hidden agendas we're finding, especially with these emails, but things that are happening every single day, things that really link up with Epstein Island or North Fox Island, which I've talked about, you have to start to wonder, something is going on in Hollywood and DC especially, and we have literally somebody who's incompetent running an office. We know he's not pulling the strings. We know these lobbyists, etc., are pulling the strings, and they're the same lobbyists that are in these emails talking with these pedophile code words. Go figure. Next, we have some emails from the Stratford company. So the Podestas were linked in because it applied to them. This is a company they mingle with and work with, I'm assuming. They're commonly known as Stratford. It's an American strategic intelligence publishing company. Sounds like a bunch of legal bullshit, but nonetheless, they are lobbyists, it sounds like. So here's the email in depth, and I just want to read it, and they mention Obama, so I want to go over exactly what's said here. It states, I think Obama spent about $65,000 of the taxpayers' money flying in pizza / dogs from Chicago for a private party at the White House not long ago. I'm assuming we are using the same channels. Now, first and foremost, there's a couple things I want to mention here. We see the food reference again. Not only are they talking about $65,000 flying in from Chicago to a private party, but again, they're talking about pizza / hot dogs. Again, we go back to that chart and we're eerily reminded of what those words might mean. So that's the first thing. Second of all, they're talking about $65,000 spent on hot dogs and pizza. So I ask you, unless you were having a party of a million people, I mean, realistically, how much money can you spend on hot dogs and pizza? Third off, and this is the most alarming part, it is a well-known thing that presidents specifically, food is not to be flown into presidents for security risk. You wouldn't want a president eating food from somewhere because on the plane it might have been drugged. There are people that want to kill these politicians, so there's a possibility that these type of things happen through food. So just know that they would not let a president eat food that has been flown in. But instead, we have these people from Stratford talking about $65,000 worth of food that Obama flew in for his private party. Now, if that isn't some sick shit, I don't know what is. So to sum this all up, something weird is definitely going on. We have the Podesta's art, again, depicting children in compromising positions again and again. We have news articles from mainstream media sites detailing Tony Podesta's art and his wife commenting on the fact that many people find it disturbing when they go over. Now, this was joked about in the early 2000s, but now when you look through a different lens, especially these 2016 emails, it all starts to come to fruition and make sense. Why else would somebody have children in compromising positions as art on their wall? Oh, I don't know, if they were doing that sort of stuff. We also have the emails about being in the torture chamber or going to get a pizza for an hour. odd terms all around food. So we see with the Podesta brothers, as well as the other email where we see Tony Podesta admitting he has stayed in touch with a known pedophile, we clearly see that there is some type of thing going on here, and it's really not that hard to come to this conclusion, as I have. Now, the only other thing I can think about is that these people are talking about drugs and they're flying in drugs, etc., to these private parties, which is feasible. But again, the Podestas and their poor track record, rather, you just really have to sit here and wonder, what else could that stuff mean? We also have Andrew Breitbart, who was a conservative icon. And again, I am not on either side of the aisle. I cannot be accused of that because I simply am not. In February 4th, 2011, he tweeted about John Podesta and basically called him a pervert. He claimed that he had sex slaves, and how he has not gone to prison, basically, is beyond him. Just a year later, in March of 2012, that tweet was in February of 2011. Just a year later, in March of 2012, he would die of heart failure. Many people have chalk that up to the fact that he was speaking up specifically against the Podestas. But I have to say, in my opinion, it was a year later. Is it possible that those things correlate? Definitely. But the more suspicious thing would be if he was killed, I don't know, or died maybe a month later. For it to go on a whole year makes me actually question the credibility of that. But nonetheless, we have him speaking out against the Podestas, and a year later, he's dead at 43, so young, from heart failure. It does make me wonder, but I couldn't confirm it. I also came across various videos of Andrew Breitbart speaking down on John Podesta and basically saying, "Fuck you, John Podesta. What are you hiding?" So I can only imagine that that tweet and that video definitely did not help Breitbart's case. And again, this is somebody who has a huge following and was drawing eyes to the Podesta brothers and some of the sick stuff they have going on. So is it possible that Andrew Breitbart was killed because of this? Absolutely. Can I confirm it? No, but I thought that I would note it for you guys. In summary, there is definitely something going on with the Podesta brothers specifically. We have way too many instances looking throughout these emails of them using this odd pedophile language that, again, can only be linked to either some type of child ring or drugs, in my opinion. We have admissions that Tony Podesta was keeping in touch with an active pedophile. We have emails from the staff of Stratford Company talking about Obama flying in $65,000 worth of food and pizza to a party, when we do know that no sitting president would be able to do that. And you might say, why does Obama have anything to do with this? Well, he is heavily linked with the Podestas as well as the Clintons and in general in DC. Quite simply, this is part one of my investigation into the entire theory that took the world by storm in 2016. On my next episode, which I'm currently working on, I will be talking about Comet Ping Pong Pizza and the details that link a DC cover-up to the so-called local pizza joint. As a reminder to everybody, I'm simply conducting my investigation and giving you guys my opinions. None of these things I have stated today here are complete facts, and I want to make that apparent strictly for legal reasons, but these things are just my theories and my opinions. As always, I appreciate everybody who's listening to the Between the Lies podcast and keeping up with me on TikTok. It is my dream to do this podcast full-time, and I will achieve that dream. I'm working towards it every single day. For those who have listened to this podcast today with a political bias, I encourage you to go down this rabbit hole without thinking of it in a political manner. I encourage you to listen to the podcast and the emails which we disclosed today and truly theorize what all that stuff could mean. At the very least, we can see that something sick is going on in DC as well as Hollywood and the entertainment industry. My true theory is that the elite of this world are into some sick shit. The sickest shit you can imagine. They simply have way too much money and maybe just don't know what to do with it. So they go way, way too far. More and more evidence of that comes out year by year to prove that theory, and that's simply something I will not back down on. Again, on the next episode of the Between the Lies podcast, we will be talking about Comet Ping Pong Pizza and that side of this specific theory, because there's certainly a lot to say. As always, thank you for listening to the Between the Lies podcast. I am your fearless host. Thanks as always. Over and out.